The Escape Pod. Let's go on a trip through time to see what tomorrow looked like yesterday.
Preparing escape pod for war.
Today was yesterday's tomorrow. Where we are now used to be the unimaginable future. And today's outdated entertainment used to be yesterday's state of the art.
Power.
Sifting through science fact and science fiction, from outdated technology to the birth of the future. Let's get away from it all for a few minutes by going back the way we came in the logbook.com's Escape Pod. I'm Earl Green, and I'll be your guide through the fantastic, the futuristic, and the unmistakably geeky. This is what tomorrow looked like yesterday. On this day in 1974, the Soviet Union launched its third space station, Salyut 3. Salyut 3 was the first human-occupied space structure to be packed in heat. The station was armed with a non-steerable anti-aircraft gun. What this was meant to fend off, the Soviets never made clear, though documents from that period mentioned concerns about armed Apollo spaceships. Luckily for all involved, no one ever found a reason to fire that gun at anything, and the station's singular crew wanted nothing to do with it. A remote-controlled test was conducted one day before Salyut 3 fell out of orbit in 1975. In 1997, however, another Soviet-era space station ran into a potentially more dangerous problem.
We thought there was a collision imminent. The thought in our minds was we are going to have to bail out. And I was the first one to go per the procedures to the Soyuz, and there I waited.
While the crew of Space Station Mir conducted a manual redocking of the uncrewed Progress M-34 cargo vehicle, problems with the remote control system left Progress barreling toward the station at an unsafe speed, far too fast for a safe docking. Progress struck the Mir Spectre module a glancing blow, destroying some of Spectre's solar power panels, and the impact imparted a spin that left Mir tumbling helplessly out of control, with the decompression warning sounding. The crew of three, including visiting NASA astronaut Michael Foll, considered bailing out in the Soyuz capsule still docked to the station, but succeeded in closing the hatch, sealing off the damaged Spectre module. Everything inside it, including NASA experiments and Foll's personal items, was lost. In 1992, Space Shuttle Columbia took off on its 12th flight, testing out a new life support package called EDO, Extended Duration Orbiter. The EDO system would allow shuttles to remain in orbit for 2 weeks or longer, in this case to perform experiments in the cargo bay-mounted Space Lab module. Author George Orwell, who gave us 1984 and Animal Farm, was born in 1903. Space exploration pioneer Hermann Oberth, one of the fathers of modern rocketry, was born in 1894. Hanna-Barbera animator Alex Toth, who created Space Ghost and set the style of the Super Friends, was born today in 1928. June Lockhart of Lost in Space fame was born in 1925. Sir Peter Blake, whose most famous piece of artwork is the cover of Sgt. Pepper's Lonely Hearts Club Band, was born today in 1932. Actress Sheridan Smith, who played TARDIS traveler Lucy Miller in the Doctor Who audio adventures starring Paul McGann, was born in 1981.
Doctor, I don't feel at all well.
Hang on, nearly through.
Oh, I think I'm going to be sick.
What?
I said I think I'm going to throw up!
Yeah, sorry about that. We just went through a little time eddy in the vortex.
Whatever it was, it's made me car sick. Or TARDIS sick or whatever.
In 2015, the man who made a dapper suit and a bowler hat the official uniform of Danger died. Actor Patrick McNee, star of the British spy series The Avenger.
What happened to the shining armor?
It's still at the laundry. Never mind. I'll give you a ride home on the old horse.
In 1967, it was a much more peaceful time to turn on the tube, as the world witnessed a live international broadcast, the likes of which it had never seen before, and arguably wouldn't see again.
Good evening. This should be a moment in television history, because this program will bring together more places throughout the world than has ever been possible before. Live pictures from across the world will be brought to us here in Britain. At the same time, they will reach millions of viewers in 24 different countries throughout the world. For some people watching, it will be the evening, as it is for us. For some, it will be breakfast time. For others, the middle of the day. For others, the middle of the night. This program would not have been possible before 1967. Europe was joined to America by satellite across the Atlantic in 1962. But the link across the Pacific was not completed until 1966. This evening, by using satellites, microwaves, and landlines, we will link Europe with Africa, Asia, Australia, and America.
Our World aired live segments in real time from 26 nations. Pre-recorded segments were a strict no-no, along with any appearances by politicians or heads of state. The show focused on the world's dreamers, shapers, singers, and makers, with live guest appearances by Marshall McLuhan, Pablo Picasso, and the Beatles, with an all-star sing-along audience that included members of The Who, The Rolling Stones, and Eric Clapton, among others.
Here, then, is final mixed track, take one, of a song which we offer to the whole world.
Over 400 million people watched worldwide, the biggest audience of any television broadcast in history at that point, and the entire project was made possible by the very recent innovation of satellite broadcasting. And in 1982, the future arrived in the form of Ridley Scott's trend-setting science fiction movie Blade Runner, based on the short story Do Androids Dream of Electric Sheep by Philip K. Dick.
This is a bad one, worst yet. Escaped from the off-world colonies 2 weeks ago. Six replicants, three male, three female. They slaughtered 20.
A Blade Runner's job is to hunt down replicants, manufactured humans you can't tell from the real thing.
What's this?
Roy Batty, probably the leader.
There was just one outfit making replicants that superhuman, the Terrell Corporation.
Mr. Deckard, Dr. Eldon Terrell.
I don't get it, Tyrell.
Commerce is our goal here at Tyrell. More human than human is our motto.
I was looking for six replicants in a city of 106 million people.
You can read about these events and many more on thelogbook.com's ever-evolving timeline of geek history. Thelogbook.com's podcasts and video productions are entirely listener, viewer, and reader supported, and there's more than just the escape pod. There's Retrogram, where you pick a week between 1970 and 1990 to reassess all of that week's sci-fi, horror, superhero, and fantasy shows. There's Select Game, Expanded Memories of the Odyssey 2, covering one of the great overlooked classic video game systems. There are the frequent Phosphor.Fossils YouTube videos, each one revisiting classic arcade, computer, and home video games from the 70s through the 90s. And there are the Logbook.com's original books and ebooks, and much more. You can find ebooks and anything you might want from online vendors such as Amazon or eBay at thelogbook.com/store. There are original designs on everything from t-shirts to socks to shower curtains to non-medical grade face masks at thelogbook.redbubble.com. You can support The Logbook on an ongoing basis at patreon.com/thelogbook or at Ko-fi, that's ko-fi.com/thelogbook. You can also help us out by subscribing to CBS All Access or Amazon Prime through the ads you'll find on nearly any page of thelogbook.com. Thanks for listening to The Escape Pod.
In the past 100 minutes, our cameras have been bringing you direct live pictures of people and places from widely separated parts of the Earth's surface. Now, as our program draws towards its end, we look beyond our world. Our world is a tiny planet orbiting the sun in the cold, dark emptiness of space. The sun is one of 10,000 million, million, million stars in the detectable universe. This television picture can go round the Earth in a fraction of a second, would reach the sun in 8 minutes, but would not reach the nearest star, Proxima Centauri, until September 1971, when our babies born today might be starting to read and write. Could there be other worlds like ours? Most astronomers think there could, perhaps even many thousands others, all capable of supporting life, orbiting round other stars like our sun. We will never visit them, and nor will the babies born today. But we are already 10 years into the space age. Men will land on the moon before our babies are very old. They are children of the space age. Let us see what we can show them today beyond our world, and how people on our world are at this moment preparing to visit the inhospitable moon.